What do you want? Statement of purpose? Should I email you? Should I put this on your action item list? You decide your own level of involvement.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, the newest show of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour is back in your life. It is March 2nd, 2021. Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, with Future Dan of FutureDanger.com. How you doing there, man?
Good. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We're going to try to update the community on key pieces of news tonight that are remarkable, interesting, and showing us where we're at.
Liberty, security, economics, and natural news. That's everything pretty much that you can care about. And that's how Future Danger is segmented, and that's kind of how we look at it as well here on Patriot Power Hour. It's episode 131. Of course, shout out to PrepperBroadcasting.com, the Prepper Broadcasting Network. Archives for sale on flash drive.
Yeah.
That's pretty sick, and I may even get the spruced up EMP, flood-proof, etc. USB, and not only get some podcasts on it, which I will, but also add some other stuff onto it if there's more room. I don't know how much room's on there, but my own documents or whatnot, pretty awesome and really a great way to help out the network. So, yeah, I think that's a damn good idea.
It depends on how many episodes you buy. They're coming in lots, right?
Right.
They're organized on topic.
And a lot of that stuff
was pretty interesting. I listened to James put out the advertisement on I Am Liberty and a Daily Audio Cache. Actually, he premiered it this week, right, on Daily Audio Cache.
Yep.
And he's got Prepper Broadcasting Network from before he owned it, years of great content. And most of what the rest of the hosts are talking about, it's evergreen, right? It's not changing a lot.
That's what I'm stoked about, being able to go back to before we even joined. Now, I've been listening to, I would say, 60 to 80% of PBN content in the last 13 months, 14 months since we've been here. I miss shows here and there. I try to listen to almost as many as I can, at least. But before then, I had heard some of the shows on here and there, but not much. So being able to go back in kind of a more organized fashion and in a compartmentalized, labeled, focused way to find some of the best of from that content, super, super valuable. And I'm a member of the continuity, so it's a dollar a podcast, so totally worth it. I mean, 10 hours of info for $10, for example, that's pretty good, I think.
You know, it provides the opportunity, if one were inclined, to, you know, put that into transcript, which is available to members only on Prepper Broadcasting Network, podcast transcribed. But if you had those transcribed and you were researching, you wanted to write a book, you could probably for the first time take what many, many podcast hosts for many, many years have been saying about different topics and aggregate it. So just having that content released by James opens the doors to, you know, an entire refining of all these topics. I think that effect could be out there. And I'm thinking about purchasing at least some sets of what he has available. It's all on PrepperBroadcasting.com. He's running a banner ad, so check it out right up top. And you know, you go through a little dialogue to indicate what kind of topics you're interested in, get a quote, and he'll be right back to you.
That's just the crazy, crazy reality we're in. You're able to really archive and store these. And like I said, even with the USB version, the protected version, it can last through damn near anything. So this digital age we're in, a lot easier to store, diversify, and even clone and duplicate information. You could take that. You could take those podcasts yourself, right, that you receive from James from PBN, and you could put them on 10 other flash drives yourself that you buy for $5 each and just give them to people too. So don't sell them. I mean, I think that's kosher. I think James would be cool with that. Don't sell them, not to make money yourself, but to, or as extra versions in case, you know, in your stash, you know, in your cachet, in your cash, not cachet. Anyway, I think it's a freaking great idea. Help out Patriot Power Hour. Help out Prepper Broadcasting Network. And, I mean, Future Dan, it is March. It's been a whole year since COVID shutdown really started to hit us hard. Just that COVID cast alone, that part, will be a crazy archive and journal of this, of what we've gone through, this beta test, maybe even a full-on bio warfare attack. I think it's an interesting piece of history, if anything, all these podcasts, you know?
It's not history yet. I mean, this thing
will be, though.
Playing out, and I don't know, will it? So it's just the first generation of, you know, things that get worse, you know.
Wow.
Keep your eye on this. If it was man-made and it did have the effect that the creators intended, why wouldn't there be more?
Oh, well, that's definitely true. If you mean it's a very small battle that was forgotten to a much greater war that comes, well, that in the history books, I mean, that analogy may hold. I hope not. I mean, I do know that Mr. Biden, President Biden, saying there will be a vaccine for every adult by Memorial Day. So maybe we're going to be saved. I'm not really too sure about that and will not be taking a vaccine myself. But everyone is always talking about forced vaccinations, right? But it seems like a lot of people, you know, great majority, maybe it's overinflated. Maybe the propaganda is getting to me and a lot fewer are taking it than it sounds like. But it doesn't sound like they need forced vaccines. It sounds like everyone's lining up.
Yeah, they're not all lining up. That's not happening. One third of the military won't take it. I mean, it's going to be one third of the nation that's staunchly not taking it. Not to mention the people who had COVID that, you know that they can't give it or get it because they're immune. So
one third is a pretty small amount, though. You know, even
right,
like it's a very small amount. I mean, that's more majority people taking it for sure.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. And the negative reactions of the experimental vaccination are, you know, it's either has some level of danger that's way out of proportion of any vaccine, right? Any vaccine has its fraction that it's harmful to. And everyone's always known that. But if that fraction for this one is multiple times larger, that's going to be tough information to suppress.
I think so. I don't know. We'll find out. I really hope not. A lot of that would be pretty hard to find out. I have a feeling a lot of things would show up 5-10 years down the road or more, but hopefully not. I don't know. I'm not taking it. I don't even buy a first edition of a new video game console or phone. You know, I'm not going to take a 10-month-old vaccine that was rushed on emergency. You know, I don't know. That's just me, though.
Or you might get COVID before then and not need it.
They'll probably say that eventually you'll need it. Are they saying that, though, that if you've gotten COVID, you don't need it? Are they saying that?
Who cares what people are saying? You had the disease. It's like, That's what happens. You have natural immunity. That's why there's such things as herd immunity, right? Mm-hmm. It's a known concept in disease transmission everywhere. When these things sweep through populations, they do their damage. And we know that the outcome in Texas and California were about the same despite radically different measures. Texas today lifting all mask requirements and opening all business, without restriction, right? Far be it the case in California right now, but you get the same outcome. I mean, the pathogen went through the population. It's been slowed down for a year because everybody stayed at home, but it's not going to stop.
No,
you'll be exposed to it in your life, Ben. I'll be exposed to it. You're going to have it in the environment forever.
I think we talked about this long ago, definitely more than a year ago, that it had hit such a level that it cannot be contained any further, essentially. So, yeah, no, I agree with you. I haven't gotten it, luckily, but I have a pretty darn good chance I will someday. And I would take the chance on that than the vaccine that may or may not work, may or may not have side effects. You know, who knows? It hasn't been studied. It's just too big of a risk factor. But I'm a little disappointed that so many people are rushing in to it. But maybe fewer are than I think, or maybe, you know, I should trust the science more. I don't know, but it's just a little crazy. But anyway, by the end of May, that'll be squared away and. Allegedly, a year from now, we'll be back to normal. I suppose that means baseball with, you know, tens of thousands of fans in the crowd and no masks. They said it. You're going to put that mark in the ground right here? We'll check back 1 year from now, see if we're at normal.
But because we, you know, that sort of behavior is deemed acceptable, having crowds again, doesn't mean that on the other side, another third of people are just going to avoid crowds for the rest of their lives because they've been taught to be afraid.
I
don't think
a third
of the population is a small part of the population. I think when a third of the population is doing something in common, that's a large part of the country.
Well, I think if we're talking about going back to the vaccine part, I think two-thirds of the population's been potentially poisoned and potentially have massive negative side effects that'll strain the economy and healthcare system. So that's a very large amount of your population that was just damaged in bio warfare and the subsequent vaccine, which is part of it. So that's a large amount. I know what you mean. There's a staunch one-third. That's still a good portion that has a lot of power, and we are strong together, apes strong together. I understand that point too, though.
Right. Well, to help you understand, the Bitcoin wallet where donations could be made to futuredanger.com, pay for upgrades and keep it running, is available. So if you want to send me one-third of your holdings of Bitcoin tonight and keep two-thirds, you can consult. You can have consolation that you kept a big part of it.
Well, you got one-third left, you know. But then how many of them have jobs left or are in hospitality or travel or already on welfare? And so then it really whittles down before you know you only got 5% of your population that's actually self-sustaining and fighting back.
I'm just putting it this way. If you made a list of the top 10 facts, situations, conditions that people in the United States are on one side or the other, right? And anytime one side or the other reaches a third, you got a tremendous percentage of the population. You know, from the mists of time, whether it was documented prior to the last few decades or not, the concept of 3% in the American Revolution being enough to overthrow the crown and gain independence, the 3% had to act. When 30% are in unison, that's a big number. It has to be paid attention to. Whatever slice you're measuring, it's a big piece.
I like your optimism. Very optimistic today. I definitely get where you're coming from. I just think that of that one third, they're sliced themselves into many different sections. And we've talked about Clower and Piven and stratification across society and all different levels to fight different things. Maybe that is something people could bridge the gaps over. Left, right, down the middle, upside down. But hey, you're not too trustworthy of this vaccine. You don't like it slammed down your throat and literally jabbed into your body. Maybe we can agree on that. That's a way to heal the country and get together. I like it. All right, guys. We're going to break. We'll be right back with the News Blitz. Patriot Power Hour, episode 131, coming back right at you.
Prepared to be the family doctor in a disaster or emergency? This is the Intrepid Commander, and I'm holding the Prepper's Medical Handbook by William W. Forgy, MD. In this great book, you'll learn how to prepare for medical care off the grid. You'll learn about assessment and stabilization. You'll even deal with things like bioterrorism response, radiation, and how to build the off-grid medical kit at home. Look, 2020 taught us a lot about the limitations of our medical infrastructure in America. Get the Prepper's Medical Handbook today at Amazon.com. Again, that's the Prepper's Medical Handbook by William W. Forgy.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour. It is time. It's time for the Future Danger News Blitz. FutureDanger.com, the backbone of Patriot Power Hour. Let's go right to left, switch it up a little bit. A new highly resistant COVID variant has emerged in California. There's also a different highly resistant COVID variant originating out of Brazil. Of course, add these on with what we've seen recently, and there's damn near a dozen variants. Have any of them hit a critical mass? Not sure yet, but got to worry about that. That next version, you're going to need more vaccines down the road. Keeping with the vaccine theme, get it all out. Let's go. Georgia mother of two dead after receiving COVID vaccine. CDC removes claim that vaccines do not cause autism from its website. Let me read that again. The CDC removes the claim vaccines do not cause autism from its website. Indonesian nurse dies after taking the Chinese COVID vaccine. Big Pharma may, quote, need to change COVID vaccines to fight new mutations, as we've been talking about, and other articles. Again, these are kind of, they're iterative. Each one gets a little better. Talks a little bit more each week. The onion is peeled back a little bit more, and we see this going on. They've been preconditioning, and now it's getting closer and closer to the need for new vaccines to fight new mutations. Large numbers of French hospital workers unable to work following COVID jab. Dozens of teachers in northern Italy calling sick. I think we saw that previously, similar reports. 22 Dutch elderly. These go on. And death rates skyrocket in Israel following the Pfizer experimental vaccine. scientists discover that the mRNA vaccine inactivates tumor-suppressing proteins. So your body essentially produces cancer cells almost in perpetuity, but your body fights against it, kills it off, but the mRNA inactivates those tumor-suppressing proteins in your body. Thus, tumors run rampant. Go check out. These are in-depth articles you can go research at Future Danger. Let's move away from COVID, though, right now. There's a powerful volcano. Go check out these pictures. Darn scary. If you saw that in real life, it'd be beautiful, but extremely, extremely scary. The Sinabung volcano. Videos and pictures. Low level, hasn't destroyed or killed, but again, something to watch, especially if you're in that region or in any volcanic region, Pacific Northwest. Report, 1 in 3 freshwater fish face extinction. Massive whales and dolphin die-off linked to solar storm and magnetic pole shift. I think, we did talk about this. See, we had our Patriot Power Hour on Thursday last week. Of course, we're Tuesdays live, but we're seeing more evidence that the SARS-CoV is likely unnatural, meaning man-made. Unnatural. We've been reporting on that for more than a year, though. Let's move on. Economics. Wow. I thought we were at $27 trillion, but by the time I thought that, we're at $28 trillion federal government debt. Literally, I did a $27 trillion calculation on an interest payment the other day, just a round figure. I got to bring that up to $28 trillion. $28 trillion. Crazy. 125% debt to GDP ratio. That's pretty nicely into the red zone. Not as high as we've ever been or the extreme end, but pretty darn close, and it's only growing. Now, since our last report last Thursday, our final episode of February, the 10-year treasury yield has receded a little bit. It had a huge jump, as we talked about. That means as interest rates spike, the interest payments go up as well, putting the federal government and anybody in debt, which is everybody practically, in a worse hole, in a deeper hole. Well, that has abated slightly, but those rates are still primed to jump, and anything like that will definitely set off a market crash. We did see a big sell-off in stocks, but they've kind of rebounded, but they're in queue. You know, they were down today, but everyone's just kind of looking at one another like, is everything cool? Can we still buy and go higher and higher, or is the party over? We'll find out. But for now, the market's still moving along. A few articles, not too much in the security column, which is, of course, good to see. Saudi Arabia says missile attack was intercepted over its capital city. Now, you've likely seen this already, but there was an Israeli air attack near Damascus that's kind of heating up over there. And this is, we'll definitely have Future Dan talk about this on the other side, but coercive forces mobilize. I've never seen this indicator. The article that goes along with it, more than 200 Marines arrive at mass vaccination site in Philadelphia to help FEMA. So we have Marines and FEMA helping give vaccines in Philadelphia. Wow. All right, final column, and we'll bring Future Dan on. Go to break. I'll try to knock it out real quick. 4 arrested in Texas on 150 counts of voter fraud. House majority moves to eliminate voter ID requirements. Judge rules Arizona's Maricopa County must turn over 2.1 million November election ballots to the Senate. These are all pretty high level. Actually, really the highest level of threat or importance on the site this evening. Supreme Court shoots down Sidney Powell requests on election fraud cases. Supreme Court hears first case regarding voting laws since the election. All starting to move along. I'm really interested in the four arrests in Texas on the 150 counts of voter fraud. But this is all just the tip of the iceberg. We know it. Amazon censors Clarence Thomas PBS documentary during Black History Month. Wonder why. FBI director says agency doesn't treat Antifa as domestic terrorism group. Again, the FBI director says agency does not treat Antifa as a domestic terrorism group. FBI director won't disclose Capitol Hill officer cause of death. Also says that the FBI has slowed disciplinary process for FISA abuse in order to assist special counsel probe. Finally, House majority jumpstarts gun control efforts. Waiting in the wings, gun control efforts, getting it going. Future Dan, we got a couple minutes left. I want to hear your analysis and thoughts on that, and we'll come back on the other side and get even deeper into it.
Yeah, I'd like to, forget the actual headlines today and focus a little bit on the construct. Tonight, more than usual, the fact that different indicators on future danger have different importances of their own. And certainly, depending on your political viewpoint, some of these things are less disturbing to you than others. But, clearly, some things that are red and some things that are green might weigh about equally in your, as you measure the scene and say, well, I'm paying attention to, perhaps Israeli airstrikes in the Middle East more than I'm paying attention to Amazon censoring a Supreme Court justice, because some of these things you're so numb to, right? But, the challenge of editing the website is to keep them in their containers and grade them consistently inside of them. That makes sense?
Absolutely. I mean, some things are obviously SHTF, black and red, total shutdown. That was the economic stock crash last March.
Last March, yeah.
That was pretty, no matter where you are in the world. Maybe if you have a super awesome bug out location on 100-acre homestead that's self-sustaining, it doesn't affect you. Otherwise, it's very effective. But again, others are very regional or depending on your viewpoint, or et cetera, et cetera. So, no, just like everything, there's many, many facets to it. Nothing simple in this world. We're going to be going to break, guys. We'll be right back.
The situation around Syracuse is one of utter devastation. Just like the other nuked cities, the danger area of highest contamination extends out 20 miles from the blast zone. All the communities immediately around the city have major problems. There is a mandatory evacuation order for the city itself and some of the immediate surrounding areas. They are testing the water, air, and soil constantly for contamination. This excerpt is from the book titled The Prepper, Part 1, The Collapse, by Carl A.D. Brown. Go to Amazon.com today and explore one family's journey through the collapse. Again, The Prepper by Carl A.D. Brown.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Patriot Power Hour, second half, blasting off. Let's do it. Future Dan, we were just talking a little bit, not just about this news blitz and about the relative strength or danger of some of these articles, but also just the way you can use these different articles in conjunction with one another to attempt to get a bigger picture, but also the deep dive. And one of these indicators, coercive forces mobilize. I was like, what is going on here? We got, you know, of course, the Marines and FEMA with these vaccinations helping there. That's low level in of itself. It's not truly putting people into FEMA camps or something that would maybe be a little higher. But I never really even considered or heard of this indicator. And I'm just kind of pulling it out of the hat of what we just reviewed. Can you explain what this indicator means, why you track it, and why maybe someone listening or a prepper should care about this type of stuff?
Sure. So stock market crashes is a very measurable indicator. News censorship is commonplace. It only rates at the highest, hottest level because there's no, you know, real, I mean, we're not going to re-baseline it to have the amazing censorship we're seeing right now. Well, say, well, it used to be a red, but now it's green. It's,
right.
So there's consistency right. in the indicators. Some of these things are catch-alls. So in the security column on the domestic front, internal security and, you know, the situation at home, coercive forces mobilizing really is meant to catch all the stuff that's going on at the federal and state level. I would say it can't be below the state level. Localities being coercive or whatever they need to do or whatever they didn't need to do that the, you know, stands out as abusive, that's not really the indicator, coercive forces mobilized. It's got to be state and federal bureaucracies and usually the armed, agencies, right? So, when Marines, who are a federal force, they're not under control of any governor, they're a federal force under the Department of the Navy, is showing up in Philadelphia helping FEMA, which is a federal organization, conduct vaccine site, help administer them. Yeah, it's just, it's topical. It's something to take note of. Because you could change the sentence and say, 2,000 Marines arrive at forced vaccination site and name a location near you to help administer FEMA camps. And that's not what's happening right now. But that's the direction that sort of thing could go. But that's not happening right now. So I'm comfortable with, you can't sit back and say, oh, that's just, we're not allowed to think that way because it's not really happening, right? Because that drives nations off the cliff. You got to have skeptics. Yeah. You got to have people with their eyes open. That's what this one's meant to be. It's meant to just catch a lot of the internal security type things that if turned against the American population, you'd know it when it gets to orange and red and black.
No, you would know. This is actually probably one of the – this is the literal boot stomping on your face into eternity. It's the internal police force or internal use of security forces, I suppose. And I like what you said about not just waiting until stuff is going on or everything's already destroyed and burning before you say, now we have proof. Now we have proof that – they're arsonists because half the city's burned down. No, can't be living like that. I mean, in one hand, it's innocent until proven guilty, for sure. We don't want to see abuses of power in that regard. But on the flip side, you can't be just so passive and sitting by and using that as an excuse. So it's got to find that blend. And it's a tough road. It's a tough road for sure. But I think too many people have ostrich syndrome. If you know what I mean, just put their head in the sand.
Yeah, there's the ostriches on one end, and then there's people, making it for more than what it really is right now on the other end. And if you're new to Future Danger and you can't, you're colorblind to the system, or unfortunately, if you are colorblind, the system isn't exactly 508 compliant. I apologize for that. Donate at our Bitcoin wallet, and we'll see what we can do for people with disabilities. But it's color system, and when you come in, if you can't see the colors, you don't recognize what it's trying to tell you, and just read the headline, you can just, you know, scoff at certain things. Oh, that's hyperbole. That's over the top. That's not really happening. That's just an alarmist piece of news. And 200 Marines helping out a federal agency in American City is not that, you know, the extreme of coercive forces mobilizing. That's just the point. That's what that one's all about. And you go into the archive, you know, do a dive on the, you know, click on the name of the indicator, go into the history of it. You can see the ebb, the flow, where we're at, what's been recognized before, how certain things in the past were graded and perhaps rated, you know, graded more dangerous, hotter temperature in the color scale. And you do that across everything that's active, and you get a good sense for how far or how close you are to whatever contingency plans you've made.
I like it. I like it. Great stuff. What else from the News Blitz kind of caught your ear, caught your eye, or if you have other topics you really want to get into? But, you know, there is a lot going on. Nothing really to focus. I think, from my point of view, vaccination is a focus right now because they're hitting high gear. A lot of people are becoming eligible for it. And of course, though, I see this elections are stolen and all these related articles. But am I missing anything? Is there anything I should really be focusing on right now? Or any of those articles we reviewed, really, you have some insight or some thoughts you got to share?
No, I think we might have hit the end of what we can talk about for news this week. It's pretty slow week. I don't think we've had a week this slow, certainly since mid last summer, before the election heated up.
That's a good thing. Knock on wood. We'll see what goes on. All right. Good stuff. Good stuff. So
tell us about GME. Tell us about what's going to happen and come out from the GME. I know you have some perspectives on that from information you've obtained that's not widely known. You don't have to give up a source and how you know, but what direction is class action suits against certain entities that we talked about at length in previous weeks when the whole GME meme stock Reddit Raider phenomenon happened. Well, the lawsuits are happening now. What can you tell us?
I'm actually really glad you brought this up. So if you recall, GME, folks, is GameStop. In the last four or five weeks, GameStop and a couple other stocks have been in the news for the short squeeze. We've talked a lot about it on Patriot Power Hour, so we won't get too detailed about kind of the mechanics of it. But let's just say this. The hedge funds had already lost billions of dollars. This attack on them had gone critical. After they had already lost billions of dollars, more than, I believe, 1 million people had joined the Reddit in just like a day or two. And
bought some GameStop.
And everyone said, we're buying GameStop. This was going to turn a few billion dollars into tens of billions of dollars lost, maybe enough to potentially crack the system, which we know is a house of cards. So, rather than see potentially the system go down and definitely many hedge funds crash and billionaires become paupers, which everyone would have liked to see, almost everybody. Instead of that, the brokerages who serve as the intermediary between the stocks that are purchased and the people, right? That intermediary, the interface, and as well as the clearinghouses behind those brokerages, decided together, really, in a collaborative, or you might say,
collusive.
Yep. In that type of manner, they got together, said, look, we're going to say, for the protection of the people, they can no longer purchase these stocks, these meme stocks. We're trying to help them. They can only hold or sell, which via game theory and arbitrage very quickly turns into a market rout. Everyone loses their money. And their dreams of crushing the hedge funds are destroyed. A lot of people expected their money to be lost. Maybe not to that degree that quick. They probably should have known. But long story short, those brokerages, those middlemen, they're the ones. And Robinhood, of course, is the largest one. But there are other ones. Not only in America, but worldwide. But everyone knows of Robinhood. But there's others. And they're being named in lawsuits in New York and in California and in other district courts right now, being sued for millions and millions of dollars and non-monetary relief, meaning they have to admit they're wrong and make other amends besides just paying up money. So we'll see how this goes. We'll definitely report on it.
Let's break this down.
Go for it.
Let's break this down and walk it all the way out to where it starts to get macro dangerous. We know a few weeks ago that many people thought that the system was getting unstable. People, you know, the Reddit investors were pushing it because they knew that. You say the hedge funds were taking it on the chin. Some of the hedge funds were. Certain named ones like Melvin Capital in particular. But there was hedge funds in on the other side. So the share of hedge funds that were uninvolved entirely was probably the vast majority too, right? But what was exposed and what these lawsuits will expose is put that in a box and take us one step above, if you can, to what the, you know, remind everybody what was the attributes of the financial system that were getting threatened, and then walk us out if that were to have broken, the next level up, the national debt. And how the Federal Reserve's modern monetary theory has, you know, where it goes next, and then finally bring it to when you see signs of things cracking, what prepper should do.
Woof! I only got a couple minutes till break, so I'll just preface it, and then we'll hit it on the other end. How about
you
that?
You can do it. You can do it. Do the Give first block before the break, and then we'll walk it out from there.
Okay. So, we have the hedge funds. That's kind of the first layer. Think of that. But they are owned and have assets under management that belong to pension funds and many other accounts that have capital requirements and regulatory requirements, meaning if those funds lose a certain amount of money, there are penalties or they must withdraw, and there can be cascading effects. Not to mention, and we learned this, of course, in 2008, all the derivatives and insurance products that could trigger if there's massive drops in the values of credit default swaps and all these securities, all interconnected. If one starts to fall, if they all start to chain effect, it could happen. Now, a few billion dollars can be papered over relatively quickly, and that's what we saw with Melvin Capital and others, right? A few billion dollars lost, billion here, billion there. That hurts. That's a nice yacht, right? But that's not cracking the whole financial system. But add a zero to that, or even two zeros, and it's leveraged, $100 billion+, now you're getting into central bank type of territory.
Okay. All right, so that's the next container, exactly. But still in the local area of the problem. What about the perspective of GameStop investors? What damage has been done?
We'll get to that on the other side. Music's here. We got to go.
You may have noticed the traditional media disguises and conceals the truth. Even when the truth is not being hidden, your attention is being misdirected. You're focused on some things to distract you from others. Future Danger assembles the key liberty, security, economic, and natural news of the day, sourcing from both mainstream and alternative media. What's more important to a prepper than knowledge? Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. FutureDanger.com.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
We are back, Patriot Power Hour, for that second, last, final half. It's finishing up right here of the Patriot Power Hour. First show of March 2021. I know. I try my best. What can I say? You're distracting me with all that great conversation between. So, did I tell you yet that I have a massive battery pack that I bought with solar panels and I love it? And I've decided it is no longer a vice to buy made in Chinese prepper gear because we are at war with China. If we can get things that will help you prep and survive that war, and they will accept it for our crappy fiat dollars, buy it. That is my new creed. I'm being a little facetious, but as long as it's hardcore prepping and it's high quality, good reviews, at this point, I'm like, damn, we'll buy as much from the enemy as we can. Maybe I'm being stupid about it, but.
Whatever you need to tell yourself. Now, let's get back to GME. We talked about what happened to the hedge funds locally, though. What happened to this generation of, you know, Robinhood users, and then let's walk it out to the central bank level?
I mean, the Robinhood traders lost it all. Most of them. Some of them bounced back. Just as a quick, think of it this way. Let's do simple numbers. GME started at $10. They ramped it up to $500. That's 50 times. Remember, the higher this goes, the more the hedge funds and banksters get crushed because they are short. They bet that it would go down from $10. They thought it was going to go down from 10 to zero, and they were betting the house on it. And they got called by the Robinhood guys. Exactly.
Where they have to settle up, and they couldn't. Okay, but what about the sentiment of the investors? Like, is there permanent damage there, or you think, you know, most of them are going to walk away and forget about it?
Well, I hope some of them learned a freaking lesson. I know some of them are suing Robinhood and et cetera. So at the minimum, they're pissed and realize, oh, man, I got screwed over. Maybe they'll look into the system, the banking, financial system, even just society at large, a little more to figure out why this fraud and corruption happened. That's kind of what happened to me in 2007, 2008, 2009, helped ignite my passion for it. I just got out of college, had a good job, bam. Got laid off. My 401k that I just was so proud of starting up got crushed. And I was like, what the is going on? And it fired me up. So, yeah, I think there are a lot of people that got fired up from that. On the other hand, I think a lot of people in Wall Street Bets were already knew about this, right? And maybe it reinforced it. So hopefully it's a wake-up call. I think it had some of that. The banksters had to show their fraud in front of everybody to save their ass. So they had to use their card at least, right?
Yeah, I think more future young hosts for shows like this may have been born in the past few weeks. Okay, take it out to the next level. The payment system wasn't functioning, and the Federal Reserve's role in that at a national central banking level, like an inter-institutional payment system level, what could these lawsuits expose? What more are we going to be able to learn? Because it's all about like orders unfulfilled, right? Because a lot of these investors, they made orders, they were never honored,
right? Ah, man, that'll be the type of discovery that the attorneys request and try to push for that type of information. The plaintiff attorney, the folks that are suing Robinhood and these other people, they're gonna ask for that sort of information. It doesn't mean it'll make it the public eye. More likely, there will be a settlement, and they'll be like, okay, part of the settlement is you can't disclose any of this, or we just will never provide it, you know, take the money, and we don't show you that we actually never had your shares, and we were, you know, we had an account balance of minus $58 billion with the Fed. Okay, but we were able to get our friends to save our ass and knock that down only to $6 billion bailout. That's the type of stuff I'm expecting in the background.
Yeah. Do you expect it'll have the same outcome as 2008? That it happened, everybody shrugs, and on we go to the next major disaster in the same manner?
I hope not, and I don't think so. I feel like more and more people are waking up to the fraud, and no one's really falling back asleep. Once you've seen it, you can't really unsee it, I guess.
So that's positive.
I think it's pretty – it was a positive. I just wish people would – I don't know. Overall, it was a positive. But I hope folks don't say, okay, now we need to find the next GameStop and just try the exact same thing over again. Half the reason it works so well is because it's a surprise. You know what I mean? So maybe finding some other way to get together and fight back is a great idea, but it doesn't necessarily have to be finding the short, you know, the most shorted stock or, you know, something like that.
Yeah, yeah, all right. So at the interbank payment system, you talked about, you know, what kind of malfeasance or just incapacity, yeah, incapableness that the system demonstrated. Take it out a level further, Ben. If this were to happen again, and instead of holding, it started to break, what would break next?
Well, I think something that you have on your site, I don't remember the exact name of it, but the buck, breaking the buck.
Yeah, breaking the buck.
Right.
I'm not sure that could still happen. They might have gamed it so that... That measure is not actually legit anymore.
I feel you, but something equivalent to that, maybe, where, and I almost see it as those insurance products trigger or these other regulatory had to step in and they just stop trading and they just say, okay, bank holiday, we got to fix the situation. So,
how does that work, bank holiday?
That's like
a timeout when you're playing tag when you're 5 years old?
It's pretty much what they had a bank holiday at Robinhood, pretty much, for one, you know, for a few stocks. They had a half day, maybe not a full holiday, meaning you can sell, you just can't buy. You can only sell, you can't buy. It's the opposite of Hotel California where you can go in and never leave. It's the other way around. You can only get out. You can't go back in.
That's funny. The bank holiday expression. That's Great Depression era, right? Like, that's old school bankster talk. Like, now this isn't working right now, so we're just calling a timeout. And it's during those timeouts that the real corruption happens, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it only takes them a little bit. It doesn't take them days and days or like it used to, especially in the physical world with their electronics and their high-frequency trading and their ability to manipulate things. They just need hours, if not minutes. I mean, they're already having all these trading halts, right? And you can say some of those circuit breakers, both up and down in price, are helpful and necessary. But they were having...
Well, they're understood.
Right,
they know when that happens.
Yes,
there's rules
exactly
surrounding
difference.
Those.
Yes,
it's predictable to all market participants, but during some bank holiday where, hey, everything's broken, we're just not honoring trades of some of you, not all of you. What else can start like really cracking?
Right, exactly, because those trading halts are 10 minutes long. Everyone knows exactly what triggers them and how long they are. Bank holidays just come out whenever they want, as long as they want, until they can fix the situation. And whether it's fixing the situation with Lehman Brothers or fixing the situation with GameStop or the next thing, they're going to do their best to paper over it. And they still have the world's greatest and largest printing machine. They just need time sometimes, right? They need that time and they need the market sentiment to turn. They needed everyone who was banding together to start selling and being more selfish, like, oh no, it's down 20%. I better sell now before everyone else. Once everyone starts working against each other instead of together, then the banksters are saved. And they just need a little bit of time to get people to fight with one another, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm always got my eye on the scenario where it's coming unhinged and they don't quite have control of it. And that's the tipping point. I would say I'm trying to get to the last container. When does it affect a prepper?
Yep.
When do your contingency plans, when do you wake up and know this is happening? Understand the basics of it 3 weeks before it gets historically bad.
A couple ways to look at it. From a high level, if you have stocks and bonds, you're going to be losing money pretty quick. That's the first, you know, that may affect you and your future plans, whether you're planning to buy out bug out location in 5 years and you're banking on that money, or you get laid off from your job because the market sucks so bad, et cetera, et cetera. That's a big part of it. But I'm thinking more of true bank holidays, or being able to access your account or move more than $500 a day from your account. Certain limitations. They're going to try to keep the panic as low as possible. But when you start seeing financial transactions, especially how much you can spend or send, then I think that's like red alert right there.
Well, I think we should start with a different premise, that most of the listeners here are pretty committed to using all their resources in preparations, because, you know, the skills and the materiel, and that they're not heavily invested in. You know, so the loss that you're mentioning affects some of us, but not all of us. What would affect most people listening on this network would be, you know, when does the, you know, all the other things happen in the financial system to really melt us down? I mean, we got pretty close last March, right?
I don't think there will be a full meltdown, because there'll be so much government assistance in the next level of quantitative easing, and we'll just spiral and spiral, and there'll be worse and worse, you know, temporary market crashes, but they'll just keep coming up, and then year after year, just get worse and worse like it has been. I think I'm more convinced it's going to be like that.
So this is a little bit of critique on your perspective by your training. My experience is that people that are, you know, highly educated in financial matters may sometimes overweight its importance. Here's what I see is what you got to look out for. This is my two cents.
All right.
You got to integrate across the other dimensions of future danger. What happens if the grid goes down as that reconciliation is underway? What happens if a natural disaster, major earthquake strikes? What happens if, you know, another super virulent strain of COVID or something new is coming on simultaneous to this, right? That's when the elites can definitely lose control.
Well, that's what you're prepping for, and you really won't care what your 401k or your real estate portfolio looks like, or hell, even if you can get 10 grand out of your savings account. If stuff hit the fan that hard, you're not going to be as concerned. I agree. It is all relative. You can't eat gold, you can't eat Bitcoin, etc. So anyway, unfortunately, man, we're out of time. Patriot Power Hour is over. It was a fun one.
Well, we didn't have a lot of news, but I think we covered the, you know, the macro picture for this week as well as we could, Ben.
For sure. All right, folks, we got to make way for next generation, but we'll be back next Tuesday. As always, Patriot Power Hour. Have a good week. We'll be back.